Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled, How to Find God's Will, was recorded at our 2010 Orlando Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
But you know, you need to be a person of integrity that if God tells you to give, then you know what? That's non-negotiable. You just give. And if you starve, well, that's okay. You're going to give. Thank you for that thunderous silence. There's not many people that run their life this way. It's like, well, I wanted to do this, and I would do it if. See, this is what Saul was saying. I knew I wasn't supposed to do it, but the Philistines were going to come down. I hadn't entreated the Lord. I hadn't offered a sacrifice. There's always an excuse. If you are the type of person that an excuse can make you deviate from what's right, then you will. But you just need to get to a place where you drive a stake in the ground and say, this is non-negotiable. You know, I was using that example one time, and I said something about driving a stake in the ground, and I had a person come up to me who was an Indian, and he says, do you know where that comes from? And I said, no. And I forgot what tribe of Indian, but he says that the tribe of Indians that he descended from, when they got into a battle and it looked like that they were outnumbered and that the Indians might want to run, what they would do is drive a stake in the ground and tie themselves to that stake so that they couldn't run and they had to stand and fight to the death. That's where that comes from when you say that I'm going to drive a stake in the ground. You just need to drive a stake in the ground and say, you know what, if God told me to do this, if God told me to do something, I'll stand here and I'll do it if it kills me. I am not going to compromise. I will not change. If you have compromise in you, you will. You just need to get to a place to where there are some things that are non-negotiable. I am not going to compromise. I will not do this. And some of you think, well, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Just pull your thumb out of your mouth and grow up and just stand for something. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. See, Saul knew he wasn't supposed to do this. He forced himself and he had an excuse or reason. Oh, it sounds good that I need to implore the Lord. But you know what? You need to obey God more than you need to do, plead and ask for him to do something. He compromised. He did not do what God told him to do. And look at this in verse 13. Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly, for thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom over Israel forever. Those of you that are familiar with Bible history, David was chosen to replace Saul. And you know what? Jonathan was Saul's son. And in the 14th chapter of 1 Samuel, Jonathan, after all of this is over, the Philistines are still out there. They're still in this desperate situation, and all of the Israelites are hiding in caves and in pits. And so Jonathan just stands up and he says, it's no restraint to God whether to save by many or by few. And so Jonathan and his armor bearer crawled up to this rock where the Philistines were, and he just started fighting the Philistines. And he killed about 20 of the Philistines. And God caused fear to enter into him. And all of the Philistines fled. And all of a sudden, Saul and all of the Israelites that were hiding in the caves rose up and started chasing them. And there was this huge deliverance. Jonathan was a powerful man of God that put his life on the line. And when David went out and killed Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17, did you know that Jonathan, who was the king's son, the one who stood to inherit the kingdom, he went and took off his shield and his armor and his sword and gave it all to David. And he loved David and he said, I know you're going to be king. And Jonathan humbled himself when this guy was his replacement. Very few people would do that. Jonathan was such a godly man. He's one of the greatest godly examples in the Bible. He would have made an awesome king. But his father blew it. For him and for himself. Samuel is saying, if you would have obeyed God today, you would have ruled over Israel forever. Did you know that there never would have been a David? We would have never heard of David. David wasn't God's first choice. The reason I'm bringing this up is because when we start talking about that God has a destiny for you and you got to find out what God called you to do. Did you know Saul wasn't just a temporary king until David could come along. Saul was God's first choice. God chose Saul. And it says right here, the prophet saying, if you would have obeyed God today, your kingdom, you would have ruled over Israel forever. We would be singing about the sure mercies of Saul today. We would be talking about Saul as being the great man of God. And we would have never even heard of David. Here's my point. David wasn't God's first choice. David was a second choice. And yet, look how awesome David was. Look what God did with second best. Man, God established the nation, and David became this mighty man of God, the man after God's own heart. In the next verse, it says in verse 14, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded him. You know, if you were to study all of this out, the first verse of this 13th chapter says this was in the second year of Saul's reign. Saul reigned for 40 years. And when David became king at the end of Saul's reign, David was 30 years old. And so this was the second year of his reign. If you subtract all of those numbers, did you know that when this was spoken, this is 8 years before David was born? And God says he sought him out, a man after his own heart. And God said, he has commanded him. David wasn't even conceived yet. It was 8 years before he was conceived. And yet God had commanded him to take over. David was born to be king. He had a purpose. But you know what? It wasn't the first choice. It was actually a reaction to somebody else who failed to do what God called him to do. So I bring all of this up just to say that we can't really second guess and say what could have been, would have been, should have been. You know what? God can take wherever you are today. And if you've missed God, if you would submit yourself to God, God's plan B for your life could be better than you could have ever imagined plan A would be. And you know, as Larry was sharing with me, he says, you know what? Regardless how upset people get, you can't get to God's perfect will for your life any quicker than just to start right now. Amen. If you realize that you've wasted some time and blown it, well, you can't go back and just think about what might have been and all these other things. Just start seeking God, and you can't get there any quicker than to just start today and make yourself totally committed unto God. So here's an example of God had a perfect will, and Saul was God's first choice. And yet Saul didn't cooperate with God, and he missed God's will for his life. Those people who think that God sovereignly moves everything and that things just automatically work out, I don't know how they reconcile this. I don't know how they reconcile like the Jews coming out of the land of Egypt. And the scripture makes it very clear that God never intended for them to spend 40 years in the wilderness, but they did because of their choice, because they rebelled at God. That wasn't God's will. He told them to go into the promised land, and they said, no, no, the giants are over there. We can't do it. That wasn't God's will for them. And yet, God was able to work things around. You know, it was God's will for Moses to lead the children of Israel into the land of Egypt, but Moses missed it. Moses got mad at the Jews and smote the rock instead of speaking to it the second time. And because of that, God wouldn't let Moses lead them in, but that was his first choice. But he raised up Joshua. And look how successful Joshua was. Joshua was a powerful man, and God used him. And we look at this and think, well, this is exactly the way that God wanted it. No, Joshua was not God's first choice. Moses was God's first choice, and Moses didn't fulfill everything that God told him to do. You can sit there and criticize Moses, but you know what? He did more than most of us have ever done. Most of us haven't split the Red Sea. Amen. Most of us haven't seen the death angel pass over and stuff. You know what? Moses didn't do it perfectly. I'm not sure that God has ever had anybody qualified working for him yet. I'm not sure that any of us have reached our full potential. And yet God is so awesome that he takes us, and what little we submit to, God is able to take it and use it to accomplish his will. And so I'm saying this to say that, you know, if you feel like, well, man, I've just messed up my life. I've missed it so badly. Here's an example of God taking a situation that was not His will, and yet He was able to work it out, and He was able to bring His will to pass. Look over here in 2 Samuel chapter 13, or chapter 12, I guess it is. 2 Samuel. This is where David sinned.
This is Andrew breaking into our program today, and I just wanted to share with you a little bit about what God is doing in my life and ministry. And we don't take a lot of time on our radio program to really give you a lot of information about us and what we're doing. We spend most of our time just trying to preach the word and reach people. But, you know, it has caused such a great response that we really are struggling to accommodate the response, especially in our Charis Bible College. It has grown at a rate that at the rate it has grown in the last couple of years, we are going to be totally maxed out and unable to meet the needs of the people who are coming within 2 to 3 years. And so based on that, I've prayed. It's a very long story and some miraculous things that I could share with you, but the long and the short of it is that the Lord told me now is the time to prepare. And after a lot of consideration, the very cheapest thing that we could do is to buy this 157-acre parcel of ground for $4 million. It has nearly a $3 million lodge on it. And this was by far cheaper than buying 50 or 60 acres in Colorado Springs to accommodate this growth. So we have made that purchase, and we are now in the process of beginning to raise the finances to be able to build a 2,500-seat auditorium with all of the classroom space and dormitories and all of the things that it takes to take our Bible college to the next level and make it a really major impact on the body of Christ. And so we are just in the beginning stages. We're getting permits and all of the architectural fees. And hopefully in the summer of 2010, we will be breaking ground on the road and all of the infrastructure, the electricity, utilities, all these kind of things. And the first stage is going to be around $3 to $3.5 million. That sounds like a lot of money, and it is, but you know, really there are hundreds of thousands or millions of people that are listening to these broadcasts, viewing our programs, getting our books and tapes and CDs, DVDs, and it's really not a big thing if every person would just do something. So I've shared this with you just to give you a very quick explanation and ask that if you've been blessed and if you see the value of this ministry and want to help us reach out and fulfill the vision that God has given us of training up leaders that are going to make a difference in the body of Christ, then I'd ask you to pray about becoming a part of this. We have a new partnership that we've entitled Foundation Builders, and we call it that because we're not only putting in foundations for buildings, but we are also building foundations in people that are going to change people's lives. So if you'll listen, our announcer will give you some information about how you can call and become a part of this and become one of our foundation builders.
If you'd like to join with Andrew in preparing thousands of faithful men and women to reach the world with the message of God's unconditional love and grace, become a foundation builder today. To become a foundation builder, call our helpline at 719-635-1111. Or you can register online by going to www.awmi.net and clicking on Foundation Builders. Again, our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is www.awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.